I'd first like to acknowledge our principal investigator, Jonathan Fielding, who's in the audience, and our funder, Robert Wood Johnson, who supported this work. I'm going to be talking to you about the Health Impact Assessment Clearinghouse Learning and Information Center, and we call it HIA CLIC. And I'll be going over the structure of it, the contents, and the rationale as well. But before that, I have, which?
The left one.
Left one, okay. No financial relationships to disclose, although if there's a representative from a private equity firm, I'd be happy to talk to you. the goals of HIA CLIC. We have some HIA-specific goals and then some more general goals. The HIA-specific goals, we want to increase awareness of HIA. We want to be able to facilitate the use of HIA in decision-making, and also for those people who are tasked with conducting an HIA, to lower the barriers, the technical barriers to HIA. It requires a fair amount of staff time, of financial resources, a certain level of expertise. We want to lower those barriers, and we think that this HIA CLIC can help do that. More broadly, we want to contribute to people's understanding, public health people, decision makers, policy makers, and the general public, to contribute to their understanding of these upstream determinants of health. Economics, land use planning, transportation, the whole array of the physical and social determinants of health. Here is the structure, the architecture of our HIA CLIC website. We have an archive. We look in, this is cross-linked, indexed by pathways. By pathways, I mean the causal pathways linking different proposed policies and projects to eventual health outcomes. Methods. This is an important component of HIA CLIC. We didn't want this to just be an encyclopedic compendium of all the HIAs that have been done in the United States. Such clearinghouses already exist on the international level. We wanted this to be more of a tool that people can use to get into HIA, to understand what HIA is about, and to understand how to do it. And then we have reviews of the policy influences of different sectors, how transportation, for instance, is linked to public health, and what are the different pathways that link transportation policy with health, for instance. We have lots of links. We'll be going into the details of that. News, HIA news, new legislation, HIA in the media, recent journal articles, and then a glossary. I didn't know that. Come in. Okay. Let's skip this for the sake of time. Here's our homepage. The pictures, there's one of them here that we didn't have permission for yet, so we have this disclaimer on all of them. This is a beta version of the website, and one of my goals here today is to encourage you to look at it, to give us feedback, so when we come, you know, with the alpha, you know, version of it, it's going to be all polished and smoothly operating and serve the needs of our different audiences here. Included on the homepage is a list of questions that help people jump to a specific place in the HIA CLIC, asking things, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to learn how to do an HIA? And so it'll take you into the methods section. Do you want to find journal articles? It'll take you to that news page. Do you want to find out about upcoming HIA trainings? And it'll take you there. It'll also take you to a page that has online training resources for conducting HIA. The archive pages, so when people hear about, HIA Clearinghouse, this is what they think, and this is an important component, but it is not, again, not the necessarily the primary component even. We list information like the title of the HIA, description of the policy, pertinent background to that policy decision, the scope and methods, the summary of findings, and cross-referencing to other parts of the HIA. These summaries are summaries that we write. So we have a standardized format. They're all like 1 to 2 pages. And so different practitioners have their own summaries, and we provide links to those. But we wanted to have kind of an even playing field for everyone in a standardized format. So these summaries that we have on HIA Click, we have developed in-house. And here is an example of one for the HIA of the Trenton Farmers Market. This is an HIA that we actually did at Trenton, New Jersey. So here, So as I said, there's this cross-indexing. So when people look at a particular summary of an HIA, they'll see, oh, these are the pathways that are discussed in this HIA. So for the farmer's market, we have nutrition, physical activity, economics. You click on any one of those and it will take you to a page explaining, for instance, the link between social capital and health. And I'll show you an example here in a moment of what a pathway page looks like. We have, for each one of these, we have a separate freestanding page. Methods and tools. What were the methods used in this HIA? You click on one of these, so it used some descriptive analysis, population health statistics, census statistics. You click on one of those, it'll take you to a page explaining how to use that in the context of conducting an HIA. Sectors. So this HIA delved into agricultural policy, planning, and we have summaries of all of those. The pathway pages. Here on some of the pathways that we have up right now, air pollution, economic conditions, healthcare, housing, land use patterns, mental health, and so on. And here is an example of what a pathway page looks like. So if someone was at that Trenton Farmers Market page, they looked at that list of pathways that are examined. They clicked on social capital. It takes them to this page. There's a little blurb. This is not a dissertation on the link between social capital and health. It's pretty short, but what actually there's a lot of, we cross-link back to all the HIAs that we have where social capital is examined. And then, you don't see it here, but down below, in the contents, it's about 3 or 4 pages discussing how is social capital measured, what are the health outcomes linked to social capital, what are specific examples of policies influencing social capital, and then we have extensive references to the people who have done those dissertations and journal articles on the effect of social capital on health. The methods pages. This is what I think really sets aside this clearinghouse from other clearinghouses, not just in health impact assessment, but most of the other clearinghouses out there don't have a lot on how to do this stuff. They have the list. It's a nice resource, but it doesn't show you how to do it. We want to show people how to do HIA. Now, that said, this is not Betty Crocker. You're not going to be able to read through the recipe and go out and do an HIA. But it is a starting point to familiarize people so they know what the resources that are necessary to invest in an HIA, and they can at least go to the different practitioners and maybe get some assistance, get some training, and then embark on their HIA. Here's a methods page. Again, this is just the screenshot of the top part of the page. So we have examples of where census data is used it's probably used in just about any HIA, but where it's used quite extensively in different HIAs. What are methods related? What are the different phases where HIA uses census information? We also have extensive training resources, online training resources on HIA Click, extensive links. These are, you click on any one of these topics and it will take you to dozens and dozens of links on, for instance, the crime and health. The news page, we have legislation, recent HIAs, news articles, journal articles, training opportunities, and where to get technical assistance. Finally, tell us, you know, what you think of the HIA Click website. Click on it, get your friends to click on it, then it'll appear on Google and it'll be easy to find.
Brian, where's the website?
The website is listed on the first page of the presentation, or you can email me. Can we go back? Let's see.
Yeah, we'll go back to the beginning.
Okay, there.
Yeah, it is long.
Yeah. This is, believe me, our final version will not have this long URL, but it's a university bureaucracy issue. Yes?
Brian, yeah. Excellent work. Have you thought of any systematic way to figure out new ones when they come out? We're getting them by kind of word of mouth and networking. How do we find out when new HIAs come out and need to be
added? Systematic? No. The network, you know, just our network. I mean, eventually, hopefully when this becomes, you know, world famous, people will tell us. But right now, you know, we do have, you know, probably most of the HIAs in the U.S. are done by less than a dozen groups. So, you know, we have our feelers out.
Okay, now wait a minute. We forgot to have the applause.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll take two more questions on this presentation specifically, and then we'll have 5 minutes of general comments and discussion, and then we'll adjourn at 6. Two more questions on this presentation. 1, 2.
Last week, our council asked us to create policy to require people or developers to adhere to whatever results came from the Canadian equivalent to health impact assessment. And I'm getting a sense that doesn't exist yet, that a lot of this is voluntary and persuasive, that there isn't a municipal council who's requiring that adherence to the assessments happen.
Could you repeat that question?
Yes. The question is from Canada, where they have a directive.
One municipality
to do a HIA, right? To require adherence to HIA. But in the United States, there's, you know, HIA has been proposed by, I think, 5 different states. There's only one law, to my knowledge, that has passed, and that is to provide, if a legislator asks for an HIA, they have to do it when an environmental impact assessment is already being done. So you have 2 conditions that have to be met.
Where is that?
Washington State.
No, wait, no, you weren't. There was someone else. Go ahead. I think we'll have time for 3, so you go ahead. I promised her already.
I was wondering, linking that back to the work that's been done of seeing how the evaluation of HIAs has come out and whether they were effective, have you thought about putting anything on the site that evaluates the effectiveness or the impact so people can kind of decide which methodology might be best
right.
For
them
to use? Can you hear that in the back? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yes, at the bottom of each summary page, we have a kind of an analysis of the inputs and outputs. The inputs, you know, we had to develop a common measure, so we have FTE, full-time equivalent months, that went into the HIA. We're asking now, so how many staff people were required for how many months to complete that HIA? And then what was the result? And we have different measures. You know, reports, intersectoral process, and change in decision. And it's, you know, just, it's a table, so it's not gonna give you the full context, because a lot of these, there's a lot of nuance that's not going to appear on the summary page, but we do provide you the links to find that information.
But you're not using the same categories as he's using to evaluate.
No.
Okay, so that might be an interesting thing. Okay, your question.
This is great work, great resources. I really do look forward to using this. How long did it take? I'm assuming that you led this project.
Mm-hmm.
And so how long did it take you to get this far, and how many staff persons to FTE?
It has taken us about a year of one FTE. So I'm combining different people's effort, but it's like one person working full time equivalent. Okay, yeah. And from this, you know, so far we've developed it completely in-house, but once we start getting an initial base of feedback from people, then we're going to farm it out to a web development firm.
And they'll have a shorter name.
Right.
Okay, you can stay here, but and now we have, because it's a little awkward, our setup, but now we have a few moments for general comments and questions to the panel as a whole, and then we will adjourn promptly at 6, which is only 5 minutes from now, but you can stay after that and approach the speakers individually if you'd like to. And so as a moderator, I'm just going to observe here that we have heard about health impact assessment. It's a few different things. You know, some people think of it as being about reviewing a project or a plan. You know, and then some people think of it as, and then we heard some discussions about it, evaluating policies more generally. There's another session on health impact assessment tomorrow at the same time where we're going to think about it even more broadly in terms of how to influence policy process. And then I will add into the mix that as I'm working on the implementation of AB 32, the California Global Warming Solution Act mitigation plan, I think there's a role here also to think about how things at the local level can connect to goals that need to be set at the state and international level, which is why I'm very interested in this, because I don't do a lot of local planning stuff directly right now. There's just a lot of development and thought and new ways of thinking and making things concrete, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, that's been presented here today, that I know went by at a lightning speed, and I thank the presenters for presenting so well, really, in such a short time. I mean, I think you got a lot of stuff across, and I know I was very mean to everyone about their time. So before we adjourn, we have a few minutes for additional comments or questions. I especially invite your comments at this point from the group as a whole. So start here and then go back here. John?
John Ballas with the Environment Center. And I just had a really quick comment, which is that tomorrow afternoon we're doing a roundtable on next steps in climate change and public health, and one of the tables is going to be on health impact assessment, because I think you're exactly right. This is an important tool as we look at this array of policies that are going to be put out very quickly on climate change to be looking and doing this kind of analysis. So I invite anybody interested to come. Brian's going to be there, and Jennifer Luckey.
Excellent. Thank you. Back here?
2:30.
Oh, and what room? Do you know? He doesn't know. No one knows.
I'll yell it out in a couple minutes.
He'll figure it out and then let us know.
Salon 1, I think.
D, Marina Butler.
Session number.
Okay, we'll come back to you in a minute when you figure it out. Go ahead. Very good. Thank you very much. Please do stand. I think it helps everyone here, if you don't mind.
It is a comment. I think as a lot of the public health community have been really excited in embracing the health impact assessment process and the opportunities for this. I work with the US EPA, and when you make the connection that HIA is like an environmental impact assessment, some of us cringe. Because we've had some really very polarizing discussions about that. So I would make that connection I think you make that connection at your peril.
Do you want to speak to that?
Sometimes. So maybe there's another way you might want to approach your private sector and public sector partners and talking about
where is the value you can be creating for them, even as you're trying to improve the health of the community.
Thank you for that comment.
I'm only giving away the money.
Yes, the brownfields in the back. Please speak up as much. Thank you. Who are you directing that to?
Whatever panelists would like to answer.
But who would care? Lily?
Please
stand up so people can hear.
Sorry, thank you. We have a technical HIA training once a year, and we just had one in July that was 4 days long, and a number of people that came actually came to basically develop their own curricula for MPH programs at at universities throughout the country. There's one health impact assessment class taught at there's another one now at UCLA taught. Are you teaching it? HIA?
No.
Okay. So there's one at Berkeley on HIA, and that model is basically being used in other places throughout the country, but beyond these sort of one-offs, there isn't necessarily a concern
about Oak tonight. People, like, you should see this one as a product of their class. It's called Oak to Ninth. It's a fantastic example of an
HIA.
The
main goal of teaching is, like, you take a class, you identify a project at the beginning of your class, you conduct the HIA as a class effort. That's sort of the, learn by doing approach.
I actually was in a class at UC Berkeley on health impact assessment. We did the MacArthur BART health impact assessment. And that process was, in the beginning of the semester, we identified, we were presented with several projects in which a health impact assessment could be used. And we learned very hands-on and very quickly what goes into that process. The one thing to consider is the fact that that student group then disperses when that semester is over. So if it is a long-term process, if it does involve community engagement, that is something to consider with a student-based project. So a rapid health impact assessment, there are these various levels of health impact assessments, and that's something else to think about.
Yeah, and I think from the perspective of the faculty, what the course should be about is a little bit, just as the field is being defined, I think the curriculum will be more defined as equally, as this comes along, it becomes, people understand better what it is, and things tend to resonate more in the same direction, then you can see this something analogous at the curriculum level. But we're at a very early stage in that yet. Okay, last comment, couple last comments, maybe two.
The HUMPEL, community group is, and my personal strategy within my department is to go talk to all the community service districts and city councils and planning groups in the county. And then HUMPEL has built a lot of activities based on information that they found about it. We always have data now when we go and talk about things. And the California Endowment, I understand, is looking at funding yet another community group to actually bring the health impact assessment out to a grassroots level. So, we have, it's a very useful thing.
Can I respond to that?
Yes, well, final comment, go ahead.
San Francisco Department of Public Health has been really amazing in the sense that they do an HIA on living wages ordinance, and they pass it, and they do an HIA on, the public health department doesn't pass it, but city council passes it, and they did, and they did an HIA on paid sick leave, and the city council, I'm assuming that it was the city council passing it, so to me it's a model, I know these people, but it's not because I know these people, it's just that I personally think that it should be a model. I mean,
okay, thank you. I'm going to harangue you one more time. Please fill out your evaluation. And thank you all very much for your attention and to our panel for their wonderful presentation.